Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Too hot.
Sing it, Susan. Sing it, Susan.
You know I know this song.
It's 8:11. You're listening to Still Talking with Geralyn Steele. She is off tonight, but Susie, somebody was, I don't know if they were smoking it or eating it or how they were doing it, but they're crazy enough to let me and Lindy hang out.
How about it? I was in the bathroom. I'm like, we are in trouble tonight.
Hey, it's fun. It's time for some fun.
I know it. I
know.
Agree.
You have been working so hard, Susie. Thank you for all those reports from the Capitol.
Well, it's been a long haul. You know what I mean? We've been over there, and I haven't even been there every single day, but those reporters, there's nothing worse than being camped on your butt on the cold marble floor. And then they'll change it up. They'll be like, all right, today we're going to negotiate in this room.
Yeah.
And there's like that, like 2 feet of room. So they got 800 cameras. And if you have to pee, you gotta
forget about it. You didn't wear the Depends.
No, I should, right?
Okay.
You know,
you should.
I should. But, you know, because you want to run or get something to eat and you fear that they're going to come out and say something. This is during the negotiation.
Yeah.
Now, tonight, everybody's all happy.
It's all good.
Yeah. Because y'all are tired of being there. And Susie Lindy is our Capitol reporter. So she's over in St. Paul all the time. And I mean, you should have seen girl. I was in there getting some stuff ready for the show tonight because Geralyn's off. So I got to be extra prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And Susie came up and I don't even think she realized she was putting her jacket on backwards. She was like, I'm going over to St. Paul and they reached an agreement. Get it online. I'll get with you later.
I said, now run this newscast, but don't run that one because sometimes I had to put something on recorded, you know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Whatever. We're all good. I got a ton of sound.
Girl, you killed it over there, girl. You were killing it.
Oh, and the thing is, you know, you never know if you're missing something, you know, so I'm getting ready to leave and they're like, no. Like, Kurt Dowd's going to talk. So I'm like, So I run over, get him, and then I run. So anyway, it'll be good. Everybody will know everything. And, you know, we're going to have it up online. They do have a link to the whole budget.
Oh, really?
So I can go, because I learned how to do this on the computer.
Uh-oh.
I can make a copy to that and put it on the computer on our website.
That would be awesome.
And then so if people want to actually click in and see all the bits of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody likes to know the big stuff.
That's tech.
And so, like, the gas tax was a big deal.
Yeah.
People wanted to know what's up with that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not going to be a gas tax. So there you go. That's a big deal, right?
What about education? I thought the gas tax was for
gas tax was for roads and bridges.
Yeah.
Yes.
Roads and bridges. Okay.
Right.
So where's the money coming from for education?
That is in there, and it will be from revenues. You know,
taxes.
Yeah, tax revenue.
Okay.
But
right.
I wanted to play this for you because, you know, the first question. Let me see if I can get this Shaletta. You know, our computers.
Oh,
are
that's
so
good.
High quality. The other day I was like, I'm throwing this computer out the window.
How many reporters do you think were there, Susie?
Oh,
if you had to guess?
20, 30.
Okay.
And a lot of legislators, a lot of lawmakers, because like Kurt Dowd was hollering about, they were out of it. So if you weren't those three people, Melissa Hortman, Paul Gazelka, and the governor, you weren't privy to what was happening.
Oh. So they're finding out like we're finding out.
Oh,
wow. And that was upsetting to them. That was upsetting.
Oh, sure.
So the first question after they were like, yay, we made it. Here's because Walls was asked what happened with the gas tax. Ready?
Well, I made no bones about it. I don't think there's any disagreement that we want to all find a way to get infrastructure fixed. We couldn't come to agreement where that was. And look, I'm a school teacher from Mankato. I'm going to focus on what those investments, education you saw in here, healthcare, some of the other things. And we'll come back at that from another angle.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Pat Kessler said.
you know, Pat Kessler.
He's break it down for me.
Come
break
on.
It down.
Uh-huh. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
In regular people terms.
Mm-hmm. Well, it means that he's got another year. It's a 2-year budget, and he's got 4 years as governor. So.
Another chance at it.
Yeah, he'll give it another go. But okay. I think I talked to you earlier tonight about how they had that agreement about Mynlars, and everybody was so hot and mad about Mynlars and all the problems they had.
Because it just wasn't working, and we kept feeding money to it. 100 million. And it's still broken?
Still broken. Well, now it's done. Now they're going to let it all the way go away, and they're going to, they hired someone, they got a deal, they fixed it, and everybody's on board.
Okay.
That's good. When they were working on that bit, Governor Walz is saying, the same way we worked on that bit, that problem, let's take that mentality and stick it on roads and bridges.
Working together.
Yeah.
Yes.
And see, Lindy, the thing I asked Susie was, how did they come together? Because just a couple weeks ago, they were cursing. I mean, like real curse words. And they didn't care that they were in public cursing. It's one thing, right, behind closed doors to, you know, go back and forth. But they were on the podium cursing, and they were so adamant, and I'm not giving this up, and they better give that up. And now all of a sudden, like, you know, Susie was saying, they're all smiling and patting each other on the back.
Well, as I told you, here's the governor again. You ready?
Because
this is first year, right? So it's his deal. So he wants to make sure he's done on time. Here's what he said.
I'm going to count this as on time as a football coach. This is just an overtime period. That's all this last one is to get it finished. So we are on time.
Yep.
The overtime period. Uh-huh. That's what the special session is.
And see, when I heard that, Lindy, I thought, okay, then there's no special session. But Susie's saying, no, the special session starts on Thursday. And what are they going to be doing?
Well, here's this is the Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman, on the special session.
The special session will likely be on Thursday. We have talked just a little bit about that. We are asking all of our chairs to wrap up their conference committees by the time we adjourn the regular session. We've also said we will take conference committee reports as they're completed.
So now, like right now, girls, they're back at work, those conference committees.
So they're working right now?
They are working right now, all the way to over, because there's a lot of information now that they have. So they were still working, even though there wasn't a budget agreement. But now they can lock stuff in because they got that
number. Because they got the funding.
That $48 billion dollars that we were talking about. Okay. So, but it's going to be busy and messy and bleh. But I don't have to worry too much about it. I don't think. Maybe they'll send me over there tomorrow.
You know they will. Girl, why do you think you're going home right now?
Get some sleep.
I got a blanket and a pillow that I expect you to use tonight. I even brought a nightgown just in case for days like this.
Lindsay Peterson, our beloved boss, told me that I could get work done tonight, stay as late as I need, and then I don't have to come back early tomorrow. Because really, it is like watching the sausage get made in the next 3 days as these conference committees work super hard to get these bills just all paperwork organized. Mm-hmm. And then it'll happen on Thursday. They'll have the session and vote on these bills.
Okay, so we're telling people right now, later on tonight, you'll be able to get a look at the full budget. We'll have it up online.
You have to click on.
Okay, and then you can print it out and read it. Oh, my God, how many pages is that?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God, I bet it's huge.
Maybe not print, though. Don't kill the trees.
Yeah.
Just look online.
Look, she got trees on her shirt. Look at her.
You know. That's how I roll.
She looks like she's got her
I
Christmas.
I love the environment. This is the Stanford tree. That's what this is.
You know she graduated from Stanford. Mm-hmm. She's got an MBA. She's the smart one in the group.
I guess
she manages the money.
She's
I just do the creative stuff.
I mean, I'll just stay.
I don't even look at it. Don't give her no eye contact, please.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Well, Susie, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And we look forward to the news reports. We'll have them at 9, 10, and 11.
Yep. And I'll give them to you, and I'll leave stuff for the morning so that tomorrow morning with folks tuning in to Steve Simpson at 5 o'clock in the morning, he'll have lots of information, as well as some. I just talked to Blois Olson.
Yes.
And got his feedback. So all that will be coming up tomorrow at 5 a.m. too.
All right. Thank you, Susie.
All right, girls. Yep. Good night.
Night.
And you guys stick around. Don't go anywhere. We've got more to come here on Still Talking. It's 8:22. You're listening to Still Talking. Gerilyn Steele, your normal host, is out tonight, but I'm here. My name is Shaletta Brundage. I'm the host of the Two Hot Mamas podcast. My co-host is here.
Hello, I'm Ms.
Lindy Vincent.
Wait a minute. You said I'm the host. You're supposed to say I'm the co-host.
Did I say I'm the host? Oh,
yes.
Girl, I need to drink a water.
Do not get it twisted.
Out of line. That was absolutely out of line.
My bad.
Please don't. Oh, we got company.
Okay.
We got company.
I know.
We got professional company.
I know.
We've got upscale companies, so we need to be on our best behavior.
We have educated company.
Right. Might not want to come back. Now, Linda, you did something amazing that I've been wanting to do for a while. Tell us all about it.
Okay. So I did DNA testing to learn about my ancestry. And I worked with a good friend of mine, Dr. Gina Page, who is the CEO, basically, and co-founder of AfricanAncestry.com. And she walked me through a test. I swabbed my cheek. Mm-hmm. I sent it in. And she and her partner did the testing. And yeah.
So why African Ancestry and not a lot of the other places that are out there?
Well, because it's the best. Clearly, it's the best group that researches ancestry. They have the largest database that African Americans can use to go back, to trace mm-hmm. their roots back to Africa. There's a lot of companies out there, but African Ancestry has the single largest database. So they are able to go back and give you specifics, not just generalizations like you're from Africa.
Right, which
no
we know.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah, that's obvious.
They can give you
obvious.
The specific spot in Africa. They can tell you about who your people are.
Wow.
I mean, it gets very specific and very, very revealing and interesting.
Now, why was this important to you? I mean, you're strong, you're independent, mm-hmm. you know, Stanford grad, MBA, got a great husband, great family. Why was it important to go digging for, you know, your history and your roots?
To learn more about my family other than from being from Cleveland, Ohio. Because that's pretty much what we knew before that. And maybe Nebraska and New Orleans, actually, because my mom was born there. But anyway, my son asked a while ago mm-hmm. that he wanted to understand his roots, his ancestry. He's kind of coming into his own. He's 17. He's kind of seeing how the world works. And he wanted to know his ancestry.
Wow.
So that was my motivation.
Mm-hmm. And we have Dr. Gina Page from AfricanAncestry.com. And she is going to reveal right now to us Lindy's family history. Dr. Page, thank you so much for being a part of Still Talking tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Good evening to you both. And thank you, Lindy, for sharing your African ancestry experience with the entire listening audience.
Thank you.
Now, tell us more about this woman, because I thought I knew everything about her, but we're finna dig all off in that DNA. Where is her family from? And tell us about her history.
So we traced Lindy's maternal ancestry, which is reflected by her mother, her grandmother, her great-grandmother, and her mother and her mother, that branch of the family tree all the way back 500 to 2,000 years. And it was important that we use DNA that woman from so long ago, because there are no traditional.
Okay, you're breaking up. We heard you really good, and then we stopped hearing you. Okay, stay on the phone with us. Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. So tell us about Lindy's roots.
Right. So what I was saying was that we traced her.
Oh, you're muffled again. It's like you sound really clear, and then you get muffled.
The technology gods aren't working with us right now.
All right, you're great now.
Okay. I'm not moving. I'm going to freeze in this position.
Okay.
So we traced the ancestry of Lindy's maternal line through all of her mothers on her mother's line to the country of Cameroon, which is in West Central Africa. And not just that her ancestors were found in Cameroon, but we found them living among two specific ethnic groups in Cameroon, the Tikar people and the Hausa people. So what that means is that 500 years ago, before the transatlantic slave trade, there was a woman in Cameroon who was either Tikar or Hausa, who was ultimately stolen from her home, made it across the Middle Passage,
deep,
made it through the period of slavery in the Americas, made it through Jim Crow, made it through the Civil Rights era,
Right.
To Minneapolis.
Hey.
Where Lindy is living and thriving today. The DNA, the spirit, the legacy of that one woman lives in her today and her entire family on her mother's line.
Now, tell us about these people, because there are specific characteristics of the tribes and the people that you all have found. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Hausa, we found in different parts of Africa. They're found in northern Nigeria, and they're found in northern Cameroon, which are bordering present-day countries. And the Hausa are known in large part for their leadership, which I think fits very
because she always telling us what to do. She is, we call her the Diana Ross of the Two Hot Mamas Productions. Because
I get it, honestly, obviously.
She, apparently, this is in your DNA for generations, so I won't even be mad at you. This
and
is
my
just
mama's
who you
just
are.
The same, and my sister's is exactly the same. It's a miracle. I mean, it's so just enlightening. It's great.
And then in the 16th century, one of the
okay, you're breaking up again. Did you move?
I have not moved.
Okay.
It's not me. It's the internet.
Okay.
In the 16th century, there was one of the few warrior queens. Her name was Queen Amina. She was a Hausa queen. And so she led the Hausa land for throughout the 16th century.
Wow. That is so cool.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
Now, how long does it take to come up with that? I mean, you get the swab from Lindy, it comes in the mail, and then how long does it take for you to determine all this?
Our process takes approximately 8 to 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to make sure that you all understand is that, unlike other companies, once we determine the result of Lindy's ancestry, our lab destroys the DNA. So African Ancestry is the only company in the industry that doesn't sell, share, or research our customers' genetic information.
See, that's right.
And, you know, that is something that concerns me because I thought about doing it. And then I was reading a news story in the L.A. Times, Lindy and Dr. Page, about a serial killer. Now, I'm glad he got arrested. You know, you don't want a serial killer out there on the loose. However, the way that they got his DNA was through an ancestry website. One of his cousins gave that information, you know, gave the DNA, and then they linked it back to him. And so that's how that was the catalyst for him being arrested for his crimes. And so I thought, you know, what are they doing with my DNA? What are they doing with my samples? Are they selling it? So I just kind of kept to myself until Lindy told me about AfricanAncestry.com.
There you go. So you're going to go for it? You're going to
do it? I think I am.
Okay.
Now, we got to talk about price. What does something like this cost? Because that's the first thing people are going to think about.
So an African Ancestry test costs $299.
Okay, you got to do that again because, again, you're breaking up.
An African Ancestry test costs $299.
$299. That's not a lot.
That's not a lot to find out your ancestry.
And all that rich history and all that information. And another thing, too, is that, you know, Lindy wasn't able to open this because you wouldn't let her, because we knew we were going to reveal it tonight on Still Talking. But she has a letter of authenticity and some other stuff. What's in that package when you finally get your results?
So when you get your results, it includes a letter with the result, a certificate of ancestry, a brochure that explains the science, and then you have access to an exclusive African Ancestry online community where people are coming in and sharing resources and information about the people and the countries that they share ancestry with. The other thing, Shaletta, that's important to note, is that, again, like unlike other companies, when you take our test, you can share the results with everyone in your family on one branch of the family tree. So these results are the same for Lindy, her sister, her children, her mother, her aunts, her uncles, her cousins, her grandmother's people. Everyone on that branch of the tree shares the result of one test. So it's a family project, a family investment.
Everybody can pitch in.
Yeah.
Right. That only requires one test.
And, you know, when I found out about AfricanAncestry.com, because I hadn't heard of it until Lindy told me about it and what she was doing, and I'm so glad we got a chance to fill in for Geralyn Steele tonight on Steele Talking, because, you know, Lindy was just kind of telling me about it, and I was telling some of my friends, because in Minnesota we have a lot of mixed families. The mom's white and the dad is African or African American. And a lot of times these kids long to get connected to their ancestors, get connected to where they're from. And there's a lot of identity crisis going on. And so I think, you know, I've been sharing with a lot of my friends in my community who, you know, are white and who are married to African American men, or black women who are married to white men. You know, if you want to get your kids connected to their ancestry and give them, you know, some confidence and you know, just some information, this is a wonderful way to do it, right?
I couldn't agree more. Shaletta, African Americans are the original victims of identity theft.
Oh, my goodness. Break that down.
So what do you mean by that? African Americans are the original victims of identity theft.
The things that define who we are initially are our names, our languages, our families. But African Americans, historically, we don't have our original surnames. Mm-hmm. We don't know our original languages, our native tongues. And many of us cannot trace our families back beyond a certain point because we were not recorded as human beings in a federal census until the end of the 1800s. So if you don't know your name, your language, or your family, then there's no way. You have a huge identity void.
And so that's where AfricanAncestry.com steps in, is to bridge that gap, to give us the identity that we're looking for, and to give our children that. Lindy, what is it going to mean when your children find this out? I'm sure they're listening now at home,
now that
streaming
they know.
Live, right? What is it doing for you to hear that you are from, you know, Cameroon, and women are leaders in government? And
It just really validates my whole being.
Really?
Because, you know, it just really makes... I mean, proud, and it's exciting. And I think for the kids, I think it'll give them an opportunity when they're doing projects at school, or Dylan is big into poetry. I'm sure this is going to be woven into his poetry. He's going to do some research.
Mm-hmm.
All my kids do research. They like to research. All kids, I think, go to Google for pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But they like to just go and find out more and more and more and dig and dig and dig. Now that they have this piece, they can go find out more and use that to fuel them in their lives. So it's really exciting.
The other thing I'd like to add quickly is that the other group that Lindy shares ancestry with is the Tikar people. And the Tikar are the artists and the artisans of the community.
That's Dylan. So
That's him. Yeah. That's totally him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we've traced other celebrities.
Okay, girl, I don't know what she's saying, girl. She is like going through a tunnel.
You can't hear me?
Okay, so you traced some celebrities. Who did you say you were tracing?
Quincy Jones.
Oh.
Quincy Jones. Taraji P. Henson
sound like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Erykah Badu.
Okay.
So there are a number of creative celebrities in entertainment that also share Cameroonian ancestry.
Oh, girl, hey, look at you, Quincy Jones cousins. All right.
But look, Dylan, you're going to college, boy. Don't be talking about you going to Hollywood. You're going to have a problem.
Dr. Paige, thank you so much for being on Steele Talking tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure to be here. You ladies have a good evening.
You too. Right. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. How does somebody that wonderful befriend you and stick around for
years? Befriend me. She's my BFF forever. And the godmother.
And she, why don't you make me the godmother?
Girl, because I've told you time and time again, you got to make wise choices in life. Remember?
Okay. Why she keep bringing up old stuff?
I'm just saying, who you marry is one of the most important decisions you can make, and who you pick as your godparents is one of the most decisions.
You know what?
I'm
with that because
I don't play with those two decisions.
I remember when we decided on godparents, it was almost like spiritual for us. I mean, we prayed about it.
Yeah.
And we almost cried. And when we asked the people that we asked, they almost cried, too.
Did they say yes?
Yeah, they did.
Oh.
But I felt right. They were like, oh, I don't know. It's Shaletta's kid.
Wait a minute.
Baby's
kid. Yeah.
Hold on. That youngest boy.
Yeah.
I don't like the way his hair's growing in.
Yeah, you have to really take that very seriously, because if something happens to you, that's who's raising your children. So if they don't have the same values and morals and integrity, it's a problem.
And that was something that we looked at. I mean, I had a couple of friends who, you know, they weren't married. And then my husband looked at, you know, some of his relatives and they didn't go to church. Mm-hmm. And that was something that's very important to us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was a process.
Yeah.
It was a process.
Yeah, that's good though.
Okay. So we'll be right back. We got a little bit of weather. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking to our next guest. Stick around. More Still Talking. Two hot mamas are filling in. I'm Shaletta.
I'm Lindy.
And girl, I don't know why. I have just been so tired lately. Like, Lindy, it is
really?
All I can
More
do.
More than normal, though?
More than normal.
Okay.
Like, at the end of the night, I'm literally crawling upstairs to get in the bed. I can barely make it. And I couldn't figure out why. I went to the doctor. Nothing wrong. You know, my routine hasn't changed much. My hours are still the same. The kids don't have anything crazy going on.
Wow, Shaletta, that's kind of dangerous though, because you're driving quite a bit.
I'm driving quite a bit at odd hours. And girl, I'm not even going to tell you, because I don't want you to get mad at me. But a couple weeks ago when I got off at midnight, I was just like almost very scary. Yeah.
You can't do that.
I know.
You just need to put a little cot in the studio and stay here.
Okay.
Or... do you roll the window down? Do you try to have some caffeine? Like, what are your strategies? Because I don't want to read about you in the newspaper.
I don't want to read about me either.
My
strategy is, Lord, help me make it home.
So you got the Jesus defense?
Basically. Because I'm going to meet him soon if I keep driving.
Don't take nobody with
that.
You that ain't ready to go.
Yeah.
That's my thing. You or anybody else.
When I saw this article in the New York Times, I was like, oh my God, it's me. The title is, Why Are We So Freaking Tired? Jessica Gross
like
is the
title.
Author. She says, feeling like a spit up covered bag of dirty laundry? Dang. It might be, and this might be it, Lindy, fragmented speech, sleep. And so I had to get my girl, Jessica, on the phone. Thank you so much for being on Still Talking tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, how did you come to do this article?
Well, so I mean, first of all, I am so freaking tired all the time.
Oh, no.
I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Oh, girl, yeah.
And, you know, like it sounds like you guys work full time. I have a husband I would like to see from time to time. Like,
every now and again, yeah.
Yes. There's too many things to fit in one day. But I am getting, you know, I am in bed with eyes shut between 7 and 8 hours a night. So I'm like, that seems like good sleep, right? And I remember when my little one was 18 months old, it was worse. And I went to the doctor and I was like, I've got to be anemic. I was super anemic during my pregnancy, and being anemic means you have low iron. It makes you very tired. And I went to the checkup and they're like, you look great. Everything's fine. But it turned out that even if you are in bed with eyes shut between, you know, for many hours, you could be getting fragmented sleep. So, you know, your kids are waking you up for that glass of water. My kids keep waking me up because their blankets aren't right. That's their big The blanket needs to get fixed.
Do you ball the blanket up and throw it at their head? Tell the truth.
But the researchers we talked to made it clear that fragmented sleep, if you're waking up in the middle of your deepest sleep, that can really lead to feelings of sleep deprivation. And so what they suggested is really trying to get, you know, especially if you have really little ones, babies, you're not going to be getting 8 straight hours.
No.
So what they do suggest is you try to get 4 to 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep. How you go about doing that, they did not say.
I was going to say, did they send you home with a nanny when you finished that research? One of those nannies that everybody's getting?
But I do, I mean, the piece of advice that I do give, I had kids before almost all my friends, so they do come to me for advice. And so what I tell them is, like, if you really feel like you're about to lose it, you know, in those really early days, you have such a little baby. And I remember with my first one, like, I really was like, everyone's tears were just like coming out of my eyes. And I just like, why am I crying? It was just because I was so tired. And so I tell my friends, try, you know, give the baby to, if you have a partner, to your partner. If you don't, to your mom. Then just get straight sleep for as long as you can, and you will wake up feeling human again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked your suggestion of going to a hotel room. You kind of have to get out of the house. Because if you're there, they're going to find you.
They're going to find you. You can't escape. With you. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was excellent advice.
You both have kids. How old are your kids?
I have 19, 17, and about to be 12 next week.
You know what?
I'm way out of that stage.
Don't even talk to her.
Talk to Shaletta. She has a little one.
I have 12, 6, 5, and 4.
Oh,
and
wow.
It is allergy season. Yeah, I'm in it, girl. I'm with you. It's allergy season. And so my littlest is so super allergic to everything. And, you know, stuff is blooming now, even though it's mm-hmm. still a little cool outside. And, you know, he's waking up with these breathing treatments. I'm thinking about what she's saying about this fragmented sleep. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Jessica with the New York Times article, Why Are We So Freaking Tired? Charlotte Larson, our social media director for the Two Hot Mamas podcast, is posting it so you guys can take a look at it and find out why you are so tired. And she's saying it's fragmented sleep. And Jessica, I got to tell you, I am waking up just last night. It was 2 a.m. doing a breathing treatment. And it's not just, you know, wake up, do the breathing treatment and go to bed. You wake up, you got to plug it in and get the solution in. You got to take them to potty, you bring them back, and the other one wakes up and he wants to get in a chair with your wife. And it's just, you know, I didn't get back in bed, Lindy, until 3:45.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
For you. That is not fun.
Yeah, that's really, really tough.
Yeah, so I think that and the whole...
Teach the older kid how to do the breathing treatments and make him
wake
up.
Him up. Right.
He's 12. How much sleep could he really need? Come on.
Need that much sleep, girl. Okay. Who needs to stay awake for class?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Jessica, so tell us exactly what fragmented sleep is. Define it for us.
So it's when you're being awakened in the deepest part of your sleep. So it's called REM sleep, and it is when... you're getting the quality sleep that when in your waking hours helps with learning and memory. And so if you're getting woken up and in that deepest part of sleep, even if you are falling back to sleep after a little while, it doesn't all add up. So you might be getting, you know, 7 or 8 hours in total, but if they are not contiguous, you're not going to feel good when you wake up in the morning.
Oh, my God, girl, you are living. Girl, were you at my house when you were writing this article?
It does sound like it.
And the other thing, you know, we sort of looked at on our site this week was burnout. And I actually wrote the article about burnout, and I thought burnout was just one phenomenon. So if you felt if you work and you feel burnt out at work, you also feel burnt out at home and vice versa. But parental burnout and work burnout are two separate but related phenomena.
Okay, how are they different?
So the way that they're different is you can, so feeling burnt out is just this overwhelming feeling of fatigue and exhaustion when you, if it's parental burnout, when you are watching your kids, when you're with your kids, you feel you can't emotionally connect with them. You just feel like you would want to be doing anything else than parenting. And sometimes people feel that way. And they go to, and I would think like, oh, you know, it's just sort of an overall depression and you go to work and you still feel that way. But that's not the case. Some people who are feeling parental depression can feel okay in other parts of their life, and then vice versa with work. So you can feel incredibly burnt out at work and be able to come home and really be present and connecting with your family. So if they get too extreme in either arena, it will bleed into your whole life. So if it isn't sort of addressed in either arena, you can get in trouble in your whole life. But they are separate, and there's sort of different tactics to address both things.
Now, what's the solution? Because this is where I am.
Do you have both?
Yeah, no, I have one. So I'm at work and I'm present and attentive because it's during the day. But then when I get home, I'm so done before I even get in the door. And my husband had to pull me to the side yesterday, Jessica. I'm trying to stay married, girl. And say, listen, I don't know what happened, but you just walked through the door and you're already yelling and ordering folks around.
Mm-hmm.
We don't appreciate it. The kids have been waiting 2 or 3 hours to see you and they come running up to you and you really don't want to be bothered and it's hurt their feelings.
Aww.
And I had to go back out to the garage, girl, and take a step back and, you know, shed a tear or two because I didn't even realize. I just came home still in work mode. Like, okay, what needs to get, you know, Linda, you've been there. What needs to get done? Why is this laundry still in the washer? Who's eating? Who needs a bath? So what's the solution, girl? Cause I don't really want to go on Match.com. or eHarmony. I want all my kids to have the same daddy. So help me help myself.
In that case, it's really about taking, you know, and it is hard because everyone's waiting for you at home. But if there is any way that you can take, even if it's just 20 minutes to yourself before you walk in the door, if it is even just sitting in your car in a parking lot, listening to podcasts or music that makes you feel good, or reading a book, but just doing something that is for yourself and sort of calming yourself and getting in a different headspace, because, you know, I feel the same way. And I have about a 40-minute commute, and 20 minutes of that is on the subway, which is not relaxing.
I was going to say, girl, there's no way with the strap hangers you're going to be able to cool out like that heading to the New York Times.
What I will do is I get off a stop or two early and make a longer walk. And then sometimes I will just sit. There's like a courtyard outside my building where I will just sit there and take a breather.
Okay.
Just take some time to collect myself. And it seems like, oh, it's 20 minutes. It's not going to do that much. But I find, and, you know, the experts we spoke to also found that just like taking that time to just focus, center, do something that is pleasurable to you, because, you know, so much of your day is duty and responsibility. That's really helpful as well.
Girl, you might have saved. We're going to make it to 13, Lindy. This was the 13th year. We're going to make it to lucky number 13, girl. Because, you know, awesome. It's like you say, it sounds so simple, but just taking that, because I'm jumping out of the car after the 45-minute commute, still in work mode, still in work clothes, still in work shoes, still in work mode. And, you know, taking that time will put me in, a different mind frame. Mm-hmm.
You could do some exercises, too, I think.
Okay, you know
working
what?
Working out really
she's
helps
tripping.
With that.
She really is. I have turned away from her, Jessica, but she knows. I can't even talk. She knows.
It does. Do a few burpees. Some sit-ups.
Okay.
In the garage before you go in.
Okay. And Jessica from the New York Times, our good girlfriend, is on Still Talking Tonight. What articles do you have coming out next that we can look for?
Oh, let's see. What's coming up next week? So next week's newsletter, I think I'm going to be writing about how the mommy wars have always been a lie. So that, there's the idea that there's this animus between working parents and stay-at-home parents has never been true. I talked to a bunch of historians. It was sort of a trumped-up thing from extremists on both sides. There was always a small amount of people who were sniping at each other publicly, but most people were just trying to get through their days and not judging other people. So that was really heartening to find that all that sort of conflict wasn't actually there. We're going to do that. And then let's see what else is coming.
Well, I want you guys to know that Jessica has you guys have the parenting newsletter, right?
We have a whole site. It's parenting.newyorktimes.com.
Okay.
We have new articles every day.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this week we are focusing on sleep, but not parental sleep. Kids sleep.
Girl, Kuka, I don't want to care about those kids sleeping. They got all their lives to sleep.
When they're sleeping, they won't be bugging you. They need to go to sleep.
You alone if they're sleeping.
Exactly.
So that's what you need.
All right. You guys are ganging up on me here. I think we're going to let you go, girl. All right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome.
It was fun.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
All right. And Lindy, I don't know about you, but I'm signed up. NewYorkTimes.com. Jessica Gross, the parenting newsletter comes out.
I'm going to be signed up
sign up. Yeah, it's going to be
awesome.
That's
great.
And stick around. Don't go anywhere. We've got to tell you about an extravagant Sweet 16 birthday party that is tripping Lindy out. It's Still Talking. It's 8:56. What was outstanding was that bill. Lindy, did you see the article about the Sweet 16 in New York City?
I absolutely did.
How much did they spend on that Sweet 16 birthday party?
Those parents spent $25,000 on their daughter's Sweet 16 party.
$25,000. Lindy, I looked at the pictures. Charlotte, we got to get this up online.
What'd you think?
It looked like a wedding.
That's what I thought, too. The boys were dressed like groomsmen.
And she had bridesmaids, but she wasn't getting married.
What in the world? Why did they do that? Because when she actually does get married, it's going to be uneventful because she's already been married at 16.
I want to know what in life does she have to look forward to? I mean, they had they had fireworks, they had cannons, they had, I mean, matching outfits. Did you see the cake?
I did. That is just outrageous.
It's just extravagant.
Someone turning 16, that's too much. Because exactly, you said it all. What does she have to look forward to?
And what does she have to work for?
When she's 25, when
she's just giving it to her. Why is she working for anything in life? Oh, my God, girl.
I wonder if she got a car, too.
For $25,000, they better have a Pinto or something up in there. That just better not be party stuff.
I don't know.
It's been a party hanging with my two hot mamas co-host, Lindy Vincent, right here on Still Talking. Stick around. Center Stage is coming up. Everything you need to know in art and entertainment. Lindy, you wouldn't believe. You know Mr. G, who works downstairs at the Cambria Gallery?
Yeah.
As a security guard? Uh-huh. He is a musician. Got a new album out.
What?
We're going to tell you how to live your best life, even in your retirement age.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.